in mid-September, and I was walking around the expo, literally handing out packets of these spices. Like they looked like little like drug baggies.
Yeah, I was thinking, like, are they like in clear plastic bags?
Yes. And I had a $5 t-shirt on that said Cured Spices. And I was doing guerrilla marketing. I was handing it out to anybody and everybody that I could.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Raisin Brand Podcast. We have a brand new episode. My name is Jade Dharmawangza. I'll be your host today. And you know what's crazy, guys? The fact that the last time I uploaded was when I was 17 years old. I haven't talked to you guys in a long time, and I will explain more why. But today, we have a very special guest. We go over someone who started a company that's around CBD, infused products, but before was in aerospace. And if you have been following my Instagram, I'm a little bit on this like space frenzy. I'm obsessed with the Apollo missions. You guys know that I'm very inspired by anyone who takes a leap of faith, whether it's in their business and company, and that's exactly what we're talking about. But before we begin, and let me tell you, like, if you're driving, make sure this drive is long enough, because this is an episode I want you to listen all the way through, because it gets better to the end one, obviously, because we're hella funny. No, I'm joking. But two, there's a lot of bits and pieces that I took away from Joseph that I really hope anyone starting a business can listen to. You guys know that I started a startup called PBJ, and it's an app that, you know, always has those moments where I don't know if I'm on the right path, what I'm building. And that's why I created this podcast, to create more healthy discussions around entrepreneurship and the journey, because it's not always that fun. So with that being said, we're gonna dive right in. And like in the very beginning, I said, I haven't talked to you guys in a while, and I apologize. I've been working so much on PBJ app. We're expanding product lines. We're testing new features. And I'll be back on the podcast very soon. You know that I promise you guys that I'll be more consistent, but this time I actually will. We have a few more guests lined up next week. So yeah, I'm really excited. So I hope you guys enjoy, and let's dive right in. All right, guys, welcome to the Raisin Brand Podcast. I'm here with a very special guest. He's a CEO of Cure Nutrition. Now, before he started a nutrition company with CBD products, he was actually an aerospace engineer. And even before that, you've done things with top physical competitiveness and consulting. And I just hear there's so many things about our special guest, Joseph. So thanks so much for being here today.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
All right. So first question, I think I dabbled into like all the fields you've done, but just for my audience to get a better sense of what you do, tell us short life story. Who are you, Joseph?
Yeah, absolutely. To sum it all up, I am a problem solver, but that has been the result of I'm realizing that I'm only 29 and I've only been an real entrepreneur for about 5 years, but it's been a long kind of trial and error approach to get me to where I am today. High school was all sports and fitness, extremely interested in health, started working out around age of 13, played the sports in high school, loved that piece of my life, got my first job, first official job when I was 14, had my mom drop me off in the parking lot so nobody could see me when I was going to work. But then I realized I had been an entrepreneur, you know, like I didn't want the other people to see that I was actually 14 and didn't have my permit. And then when I had my permit, we had this funny approach where I would have my mom drop me off in the lower parking lot. I had really tinted windows and I would say, don't leave until like I've gone all the way inside. And then when I come out, just be in the passenger seat so my friends don't make fun of me that I'm younger. But yeah, I've been an entrepreneur my entire life. I got my first internship when I was 19 and then ended up working for that company when I graduated. So I really started in the professional aerospace corporate world when I was 19 years old, and then ended up spending 8 years in that world. And as you alluded to, alongside that, I was really diving into the health and fitness community. I had lost the team sports aspect when I went off to college, but still had a health and wellness focused mindset, and started actually doing physique competitions when I was 23, 24 out of college. And that really sparked my interest into what it would take to build my own fitness consulting and coaching business on the side. And I would sit there day to day at my aerospace job in the cubicle, and I started listening to Joe Rogan. And, you know, it was just like he was speaking to me. He gets millions and millions, hundreds of millions of downloads. And I felt like he was speaking to me when I would listen to him say, you know, so many people live these, and this is a quote that he actually stole, but living a life of like quiet desperation and not actually listening to your intuition and your actual wants and desires, and understanding that I could create impact in this world. And would sit there day to day in my cubicle at Lockheed Martin when we were when I was still here in Colorado, and really started to just question like why I was doing this, where is it going, and how can I do something differently. And as you and I had discussed before the podcast, at some point I was talking about I really had like this 1 foot in, 1 foot out approach.
And I'm gonna ask a question.
Yeah,
let's just talk about the aerospace side, for example, because a lot of people, when they ask you, Joseph, like, come on, the role you had in a company is probably super exciting, like working in aerospace, like you probably get to go to the moon, right? But also, as we said before, like, I think let's just describe more of that environment you were in, because I feel like people, at least I had the misconception that aerospace was like, I don't know, like super, super exciting. But my father used to work in aerospace, and I heard it's just a lot of testing. Like it's people look at it as like some sort of like really amazing mission, but at day to day, I heard it's very like, I don't know, there's a lot of testing. It's quite boring sometimes in the aspects of regards to like the project. Can you describe to me what that work environment was like, just so we know like why you wanted to leave so bad as well?
Right. So the actual mission and what the spacecraft does is really, really cool. I worked on NASA programs that sent spacecraft to Mars, to Jupiter, and to the moon. But the day to day was I worked for the government, and there was a lot of red tape, and not all aerospace is government, but all aerospace has a high risk associated with it. You're launching something into space, you're flying around a human in an airplane. So processes and putting things together go really, really slow because you have to check so many boxes. That makes the day to day really mundane and really, really trapping. You know, you have to follow a lot of processes. It's difficult to be an entrepreneur. So like being, you know, an engineer, you think you like you can create things and design things, and you absolutely get to do that, but you have to follow very tight guidelines, especially when you're working for the government. So for me, it was just like projects would drag on so long. I would have to sit in meeting after meeting about rules and the red tape, and just the day to day was like, it was cube life, sitting in an office, wishing I was outside doing something more exciting. The actual missions were so, so cool. But when you are talking about these grandiose missions and being a design engineer, most of the time you're really working on a very small piece, very small, like bracket that moves or something like that. So seeing the whole big picture is hard. And that's kind of just the nature of the industry, because the projects are so big and they take so long to come to fruition. You have to, the budgets are crazy and everything's always changing day to day. It makes it really difficult to really enjoy and to feel like you're creating that actual impact of what the mission is. You know, a mission going to Mars, drilling and trying to find thermal energy, like that's cool, right? The concept's really cool. And what that can do for humanity is really cool, to understand our solar system. But what you do day to day is just is so minute. It matters, but it almost feels like it doesn't because it's so minute. And so getting caught in that monotony was really, really frustrating to me.
Would you say because the aerospace career pick was so, like, I guess the right word would be like stable and consistent in regards to like, obviously financially, but like in projects, like, did you say you got really comfortable with that position, which has made it so hard to leave? Tell us more about that transition. So you're half pregnant with two things at once, the fitness and the aerospace. You know, tell us more about that moment. And when was that for you?
Yeah, you know, it was kind of just like this feeling of, I had performed really well in everything that I had done my entire life. And when I saw myself showing up at work and my performance was slipping, it was almost like this like shame. I would put myself in like this shame, like what's going on with you? Like you're better than that. You're capable of doing more than this. And I actually saw myself not performing at the level that I knew I was capable of. And it was actually hard for me to recognize that. It was kind of this long drawn out process of, okay, I came in, I got a quick raise, I got another raise, got a promotion. And then there was like this 2-year kind of gap where I moved to a new program and I had started to try and build a business on the side. And I was seeing no progress in my career in aerospace. It was one, because I was losing interest. And two, because I wasn't actually losing interest. And then from that, not putting my all into it and not performing at the capability that I knew I was, that I knew I had. And so it was like this weird, like, okay, I'm putting half of myself, and you said it really well, like half pregnant with two things that my full capability to perform. No, I think that's a really good analogy, but that's exactly, because that's exactly what it was. Like, you can't half take care of a baby, right? You can't like, yeah. Oh, like I'm going to go drink and party and do all these things and then still raise a healthy baby. Like, that's a really good analogy, because it's just not, it's not possible. And I think that that analogy might not be the same for every single person. You know, we kind of talked about this before, that you can, there is the potential to build things on the side, but it just wasn't there for me, because I had this safety net. So I saw my performance dropping, but I was at a comfortable salary to where I was like, okay, cool. Like, I can still live any type of lifestyle that I want. They paid me just enough to keep me there and had the benefits and vacation established to where it was just good enough. And okay, so I'm going to try something else out on the side, but I wasn't fully committed because there was a backup for me. I wasn't like, it's do or die. So that baby that I was trying to build on the other side with a coaching business, a fitness coaching business, never really came to fruition, because it was something that I would do, you know, a couple hours a night, but it was like, there wasn't any risk to it. It was like, if it goes away tomorrow, well, I'm just going to have my engineering job and I'll just continue doing what I'm doing. And for me, that was what was holding me back for so long.
When did Cured become real for you? Because you had to quit the aerospace career at some point. Was it when Cure took off? Like, a lot of people are like waiting for that perfect moment. Did you have that? And I know you started actually only, is it about 2 years ago, Cure?
Yeah. Yep. It was founded almost exactly 2 years ago. But that's a good question. I was waiting for that perfect time. And that's exactly what I was doing when I was trying to build the fitness business on the side. What happened with Cured was, in 2016, I started a podcast, and the podcast was focused solely around physique competitors. So I'd have people on, we would talk about their fitness journey. We also talk about just like life and challenges people had been through. And I started really connecting with a lot of people on a deeper level than the facade that was kind of portrayed through a lot of like fitness Instagram profiles, which, you know, people will see is like, you have to find the depth in those. But in the podcast, it was called Higher Health. And I started interviewing more and more influential health and fitness professionals and asking them really vulnerable questions. And they started becoming really transparent with me, specifically around the topic of cannabis. And being in Colorado, I had seen, you know, the rise of the industry. I had moved then to California, saw the same thing, and was just podcasting with no real business model to it. I was just creating a platform, creating content and creating a community. And then when we started talking more and more about specifically CBD, which Cured focuses on, I started getting a mass amount of inquiries on like, what is it? And, you know, how do you use it? And is this bad for me? Like, am I a bad person? There was like all these misconceptions around it. And I saw a perfect opportunity to leverage health and fitness professionals to lift the stigma off of the cannabis plant and its derivatives, something that's been stigmatized for so long through CBD. So building up this community and then experimenting with CBD myself, I saw a massive opportunity, which also kept me away from the THC and the intoxicating end of it, and really allowed me to focus on all the really, really amazing health benefits that didn't involve like the actual like marijuana smoking weed type stigma. So I was building a community of people through my podcast, Higher Health, and just was talking about it on Instagram and had people reaching out, and I saw an opportunity and ended up taking the leap into this at the worst possible time. So that you asked about that. And this was a point where I was actually getting really frustrated with my current team at work. My boss was belittling me. I was in San Diego and really lonely, really by myself. I moved there in a relationship. The relationship ended shortly after I got there, so I didn't have a lot of friends. I am not a stereotypical engineer, so I didn't have friends at work. And not that that's anything bad, but like I didn't.
What do you mean,
find
Joseph?
Enjoyment out of a. I didn't find enjoyment out of a lot of the things that my colleagues did.
Right.
You know, I was super interested in business. I was super interested in creating an impact and being an educator. And, you know, a lot of my friends that I work with, they were just so gung ho on engineering that they never left. They're like, we're just going to stay here and build something and press buttons and we'll show you tomorrow. And I was like, cool, man. Like, that's great. But like, that's not me. And so at the time, was very lonely living in San Diego. I didn't have any friends there. I had a decent amount of monthly recurring bills, which was like the thing that I was really trying to not have when I quit the job. I was like, okay, cool. Like I'll build up this fitness business on the side. I'll have this nice little supporting income. That ended up failing. I continued to podcast. I had income on the side.
I know a lot of people. And so I find so much overlap because I basically consulted as well, but instead of for fitness, it was like for the social media personal brand part. So I have a lot of clients I know that were like in the fitness niche, but at this point, it's really, really like 2017 was a year for everyone to launch their ebook and I feel like their course or like their consulting. Like, did you do that as well? Like when you say your fitness business, like what did that entail? Because I have a feeling I might know it.
Exactly that. I had the free ebook that it was like a guide to like counting macronutrients and setting up a specific nutrition plan specifically for competitors. So that was like that was, and you're right, 2016, 2017 was like crazy in the fitness Instagram world. And you know, that was like my lead was like, okay, check out this free ebook that I have. And you know, that went nowhere because I was thinking that it was just like you do this one thing and somebody downloads it and then they're on your email list and you can sell them something. Whereas what actually worked was I wasn't trying to sell anything. I was just putting out a bunch of content for a while. I was talking to people about an interesting subject that really needed to be talked about because it hadn't been. And I knew that I was going to be able to help people. I didn't know exactly how, but I knew through the conversation and discussion that I could build a business out of it. So like stepping back to the fitness business, it was just like, I wasn't bringing people enough value. I was doing a lot of doing and putting together things that I thought would work and spending too much time on that rather than testing and asking questions and having a conversation and dialogue and extracting things from that, that I knew would actually have a potential to build a business. Cause like when somebody asks you like, who's your target customer, you either already know that, or you could say, I'm putting this information out there and I see that these people are responding to this. Okay, I know what they want and I can continue to shift my message to help build that build that allure and desire from that community. There's like this balance of really niching down and talking to that target customer and understanding what their real needs are, and then talking to them consistently day after day after day and providing them with value. And then down the road, they may have the potential to be a customer. But if you haven't, like, right. We live in this world where people want this instant gratification, and it worked really well for a while on social media.
True.
But consumers are becoming a lot smarter now. And
you can smell bullshit.
As somebody that owns a business is being looked to as a leader or as a mentor or somebody just whatever that they look up to, like, there's a lot on our shoulders that people deserve to get as a client and really to make a change in their lives. And there was a lot of cookie cutter bullshit there for probably 2-3 years. And honestly, like, it's something that we're even seeing in the CBD industry. So it's like,
really,
it's something that continues to come up, and you have to recognize it and learn how to be aware of it and be able and willing to make a pivot at any time.
I like that word. Because you pivoted a lot. And what I liked about your pivot, Joseph, is I mean, I saw it, like, hearing this, at least, it seemed very organic. Like, so many people, and I'm sure we know who we could be point names, but I'm not going to name names. There's a lot, especially in the fitness industry, like, you can tell their ebook is to sell you on the back end of their funnel, to their back end of their product, to, like, upsell them on this thing. And, like, the reason why they're doing something, you can just feel that it's the intention is just for their benefit. I feel like what I've seen with your pivot was it's organic. Like, instead of being in a place that you're trying to, like, just, like, I don't know, it's like get quick return, you wanted that long-term gain by actually giving value. So I want to learn more. So when Cured was born, you actually found it through market research from your personal brand on a podcast and Instagram, which I thought was really interesting. So then you started Cured. I know CBD, and, like, trust me, like, I come from a very, very, like, traditional Asian family. So, like, I live in LA. So, like, I'm, like, well aware that's a huge upcoming thing, but a lot of people still to this day have weird stigma with CBD. And I know there's a lot of legal issues just creating a product. I have a lot of founder friends, like, just struggling to get through the legal parts. So tell us more, like, when you now pivoted, like, starting Cured, what else did you, like, when you started, what's immediately the first thing that you did? Was it, like, you built the product? How did you start Cured? I guess that's my question.
Yeah. I mean, I saw a conversation in the community through my podcast platform. I was doing market research by just ordering a bunch of products myself, which were honestly few and far between. Like, really high quality ones were few and far between when I started this, well, almost 3 years ago now was when the market research was coming into place. But what I did was I had my personal Instagram. I created an Instagram called Cured Spices at the time. Actually, our first product was a CBD infused spice that you could just season food with.
Oh my gosh.
I combined a lot of things, really, is what I did was I found something that was working for me, that was really helping me find a really nice sense of calm. I was sleeping a lot better at night. I was recovering from working out. I was like, there's something here. I was like, okay, cool. The fitness industry might not be receptive to marijuana. So how do we rebrand marijuana to something that's going to be approachable? And what I did was also studied the fitness industry at the time and saw there was a company called Flavor God that sold seasonings, and every influencer and their mom had Flavor God. And I was like, okay, that's cool. Everybody in the fitness industry likes to cook healthy food. They want it to taste good. What if we created a spice that had CBD in it and allowed people to use this plant in a very approachable way and could also promote it via social media? So that's exactly what I did. I was like, all right, called my chef friend. I was like, hey, how could we put, like, this hemp extract into a powder? We figured out how to do it. And then I created a product that was worth, you know, really like $1.30. It cost me $1.30 to create. Okay. I created the Instagram called Cured Spices. I was following a bunch of my fitness friends and they started following it. Like, what the hell are you doing? And was just like, hey, I have this product. I'm interested if you guys want to try it. And had probably 300-400 followers. I said, who wants a sample? Just literally posted that. And every single person that reached out to me via the DMs, I sent a package to. And didn't matter if they had 100 followers or 100,000 followers, I was going to send them a package because I had never seen that done before. Okay. And I just wanted to get feedback. So I did that. Put in, you know, a couple hundred dollars worth of investment to create those initial products, was running the Instagram, sent it out to, you know, probably a couple hundred people total with the samples. People started posting about it. I was like, okay, cool. Like, this is catching on. People are using it. I'm going to set a launch date to actually sell this product. I went to a fitness expo in mid-September and I was walking around the expo, literally handing out packets of these spices. Like they looked like little, like drug baggies.
Yeah. I was thinking, like, are they like in clear plastic bags?
Yes. And I had a $5 t-shirt on that said cured spices and I was doing guerrilla marketing. I was handing it out to anybody and everybody that I could.
I'm sorry, dude. That's kind of sketchy if I were walking around.
Yeah, absolutely. But it was interesting because what had happened was weeks before the fitness competition, I had been sending it out to a bunch of my friends that are already influential in the industry, and people had started to even recognize it at that point. So wow. I like would give it to people and they're like, oh, like I've heard of that. Where have I heard of that? And I was like, well, Instagram. Wow. And so there were some people that knew what it was, some people that didn't. And I'm sure a lot of people just threw it away because it was sketchy, but it started conversation. People were asking questions. People were curious. And that curiosity continued to build a community of people. And I think we had maybe 1,000 followers and maybe 300 people on our email list. I was like hyping it just day after day. It's coming September 19th. And the first day we sold a couple thousand worth in inventory. And I said, okay, like this is going to work. And actually it's funny because before that it was actually 4 weeks before the actual launch when I had quit my job. So I hadn't actually seen a single dollar in revenue when I quit my job. I had the idea, I had been sending out samples, but I was really frustrated with life and I was really frustrated with finding myself in this pattern of not like, of like having an idea and not fully diving into it. And I just didn't like, I didn't have the belief in myself for a while that I could do it. I was getting to a point where I was getting depressed. I felt so trapped. I went and saw a therapist actually, and we sat in our session and he goes, you know what, dude, like, I'm going to give you something and you actually really just need to give this to yourself, but you're probably not going to come back to me. And I was like, okay, like what is this guy going to give me? And he pulls a business card out of his desk. He writes something on the back of it and he hands it to me. And I look at it and it says permission. And I go, whoa. Oh, and he goes like, you're looking for this from everywhere outside of you. All you need to do is give it to yourself. And I had kind of told him my idea. I told him my extremely frustrating situation with work. And he's like, dude, like, what are you doing? Like, I see that you are capable. You're just not giving yourself the permission to dive into it. That night, I actually went and put my letter of resignation in at the company. Whoa. And the next day I woke up and felt this crazy sense of freedom. Like, I had always had this idea in my mind that it was going to be really scary and, oh, I'm going to wake up and not have a paycheck. And what does that mean? That means like, oh, death, like go to the worst possible thing. Like, that's what I think a lot of people have is like, what's the worst possible thing that could happen and keep your mind stuck there. But I woke up the next day and I was like, wow, I'm free. I can do anything that I want to today. And I know I'm capable of a lot of things. Wow. Now I just need to prove it to myself and give myself the permission to live in that power every single day. So it was a crazy, crazy, wild approach to launching a business, but really it was very little funding.
Wow.
A product that was worth maybe $1.30 that I shipped across the nation and just started building a demand, building like an allure. It was something that people really didn't know about. So we were becoming the authority, the educational authority. We were building a hype around, you know, launching new products, about educating people about where this industry may be going. And it caught on. And now 2 years down the road, the industry, the CBD industry is flourishing. It's all over the place. And it's confusing for the consumer. So now we're pivoting to we're looking at that and we're saying, hey, like, we need to continue to pivot to be on the forefront of this industry and be a trusted resource.
I guess my question is, like, so many people, okay, for example, I've heard from so many founders, how do you know your product market fit? Like, how do you know you achieved it? And a lot of people, they describe it as a moment of, like, I don't know, like, it's like this, like, heaven moment where it's like, you just know, it's like a gut feeling. Like, it's not necessarily a number. Typically it's an influx of traffic. Was it that moment in September, 2017 when you sold thousands of dollars, $1,000 in your first sample products? Or, like, was it even the day you quit your job? Like, how did you know you were on the right path? AKA, like, achieving market fit perhaps, or that had nothing to do with it?
No, it definitely was a market fit, but it was like this, there's this really good book, Zero to One by Peter Thiel. And it was like, so there's a difference in going from 1 to 100. So it's like, you're taking something that's already there and you're just changing it to make it better. So that's 1 to 100. Okay. 0 to 1 is you're creating something that does not really exist. Marijuana, quote unquote, it was actually CBD and hemp, which is different, but that didn't exist in the fitness industry. Mm-hmm. What I did know was that it could help people sleep. It could help people recover. And I knew that that was the most important part of anybody's health, wellness, fitness routine. So there was this key that kind of had the potential to shift in industry, but nobody was talking about it in that way. So I knew what people in the health and wellness world needed, and I knew that it didn't exist yet. I knew the industry had the need for it. I knew the CBD and hemp industry actually existed, but nobody was really connecting the two at the time. And once the two were connected, it just made so much sense that the word of mouth and the spread of feedback and anecdotal kind of reviews of people saying, hey, like, I have this amazing sense of calm and I'm recovering from my workouts a lot better. And this is something that's really natural. And a lot of them already used cannabis, but didn't talk about it. It allowed them to talk about something in a different way. And it just was a key in a lock that was already set up, but just took a really different kind of perspective on cannabis per se. So it was like, there was a need. There was a lot of evidence around something working, but it was kind of like bridging the gap between two industries that both have the demand and kind of proven track record in their own way.
Are you still podcasting with Higher Health, or I saw you're working on another podcast? I know the podcast was kind of what levitated you towards Cured, but are you still working on anything currently with that?
Yeah. So we actually have our weekly podcast. It's called The Cured Collective. What that's geared towards is having a lot of our partners on the show that use our product and really just tell their story, talk about their lifestyle, talk about their approach to health, fitness, wellness, all that good stuff. And then we also just educate very heavily on it. So we'll get the sleep experts, we'll get the nutrition experts, we'll get the mindset experts on the platform that help people understand why you should be using our products. So there's a lot of, that's an education heavy platform. And then I also run another podcast, or co-host another podcast with my fiance, called Love Grown. And that's more of the philosophical, psychological, self-help type stuff that has really helped me become the entrepreneur and person that I am today. And just sharing that journey really raw and vulnerable with my partner, that really gives a different perspective on relationships and what it is to be a human being in this ever-changing, crazy world that we live in.
Beautiful. I can just tell, Joseph, that you're definitely a professional podcaster. Most people, not to roast anyone that comes on the show, but most people's audio quality is, you can tell it's like their laptop. I can tell you got either like a Rode mic or some Yeti going on. It sounds great.
Yeah, I got the ATR 2100. This was the... Yeah, ATR 2100. This was the original mic that I used when I started my podcast 3 years ago. So glad to hear it still sounds good.
Audio Technica. Okay. all right.
Yeah. It's a little handheld, handheld mic.
My last question for you is Mars 2030. Are you going back to aerospace anytime soon? What's your thoughts? I know Apollo 11, 50-year anniversary was recently. I'm super passionate about it. What's your thoughts on Mars 2030?
I'll start it with a joke from Joe Rogan that the people that are smart enough to build a rocket ship are never going to be the people ones getting in it, because they also understand how many things that can go wrong. So that's just a joke, but it's the truth. There's a lot of pieces that go into rocket science. The statement, it's not rocket science, that's science. That's a real thing. It's actually really crazy science that does not allow for mistakes.
Right.
If I could do that, I don't think I would go.
Really?
I don't know if you've ever, I don't know if you've ever read any of Neil Armstrong's The First Man on the Moon, any of his story, but how his life changed when he saw the Earth from the perspective of the moon, and how he came home and really everything in his life and his understanding of what we're doing here completely crumbled. Now, if you're only going there on a one-way ticket and you've got your loved ones and you got everything that you need, well, then sign me up. But it's a crazy thing. I think it's really interesting what Elon Musk is doing. I think it's really, really interesting what we could do if we were multi-planet race. I think that it is important for the future of mankind. I think I'm a little scared.
If Elon was like, "Hey, Joseph, we need CBD on Mars. There's no one else doing it. You can bring your loved ones, and the whole company can come." In that case, in that context, would you go?
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah, I think if I was sitting down with Elon Musk, I'd be asking a lot of questions. But yeah, I think that what they're doing is extremely amazing, and I love out of this world thinking. Same. I would love to be a piece of that kind of thought experiment. Now, putting myself in that rocket ship seems a little scary.
All right. That's amazing. We'll stop right there for the podcast. You guys, thank you so much for listening. I'm going to plug, I heard you have two podcasts. You have the Cure Nutrition podcast. And of course, where can people find you if they want to learn more about what you're working on / anything you want to plug, Joseph?
Yeah, for sure. So if you want to hit me up, my personal Instagram is Joseph Sheehy. Last name is spelled Sheehy. I love connecting with people on that platform. If you want to talk business, mindset, anxiety, depression, any of that stuff, I've been through a lot of it. And Cured Nutrition, of course, Cured Nutrition on Instagram, curednutrition.com. That's where we got all of our amazing hemp products, and we do ship them nationwide. So if you're looking for CBD and trying to understand more and more about it, both of those platforms are great for education and reaching out to my team and myself.
Awesome. And you guys, if you enjoy this podcast, make sure you leave a 5-star review. And if me, Joseph, Elon Musk, and Andy Frisella should just do a collab in some time to talk about Mars 2030, you guys keep tagging them. and I'll be the next episode.
Yeah, tag him away.
I'm joking. Actually, that'd be really great. That would be a really good podcast.
Yeah, awesome. We could go way out there, that's for sure.
Yeah, we can, because we're literally gonna go out of space with CBD, and I'll just be there to moderate. All right, thanks so much for being here, Joseph, and have a good one. All right, guys, thank you so much for listening. Now, for anyone who's already listening to this 1-hour long podcast, bless your soul, because it's really freaking long. But you guys know I turned 18 this year, and it's been a wild ride. I think my biggest problem personally is just knowing that I'm on the right path. Like,